All right, here we go. Here we go. Another week is here. We're now into, we're getting serious now, into the divisional round. As Chris Berman calls, the best weekend in football. That may differ through, depending on the matchups. Obviously, now we're serious. One of these eight teams will be the champs when it's all said and done in 3 weeks. But obviously, a lot to go through, a lot to desire. A couple surprise teams in this round that we didn't expect. But obviously, we will look into these matchups like we always do. And we're going to start in the NFC first. Obviously, you know, the matchups are not big-timers, but they are interesting. And obviously, we'll look into it. So, obviously, the first matchup is a big one, or at least it's a decent one. Tampa Bay surprised the Eagles in dominant fashion on Monday night. They're in this round with Baker Mayfield and Detroit. I mean, whoever saw it at the start of the season, one of these two teams would reach the NFC Championship game. One of these two teams could end up in the NFC Championship game, but that's where we're at right now with these two. But obviously, Detroit's been very good this year. They obviously have been dominating. I mean, they've been very good at home. And obviously, this is a rematch from, I think, week four this year, where Detroit beat them pretty confidently. So, this should be an interesting matchup. Like I said, this is the NBC game on Sunday. Obviously, it will be interesting to see. But, interesting matchup. Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield. Not the sexiest quarterback matchup, but one of these two teams will be playing in an NFC Championship game, whoever wins. And this should be very, very interesting to watch. But does Tampa Bay have any shot? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, with these two teams, you're talking about two teams that have two completely different, at least recent and really overall histories in the playoffs. You know, for Tampa, this is the fourth straight playoff. They're the only NFC team out in the league that has four straight playoff appearances. Obviously, they've won two Super Bowls. The Lions, on the other hand, they haven't won a Super Bowl ever. This is the last week was their first playoff victory in 32 years. They haven't been good, man. Obviously, we know that. This is actually the first time in franchise history that they've had two home playoff games in the same season in franchise history. So, you know, again, it's been forever, man. They haven't won an NFL title since 1957. So, yeah, we know these two teams are completely different trajectories in recent years, especially. I mean, Tampa was a pretty bad team for a long time, but since the year 2000, they've won two Super Bowls. So, you know, but yeah, with this one, yeah, like you mentioned, it's Baker versus Jared Goff. It may not be the greatest matchup of quarterbacks, but it is a matchup of two former number one overall picks too, you know? So these guys both have talent, whether they're that good. Yeah, they're not, but nonetheless, I think Goff is a much better quarterback. I did pick this game for our suicide pool. I got Detroit, but it's not my lock of the week. We'll get to that. But nonetheless, I've said all year, actually I said back in the preseason, you know, Detroit was going to be a team to worry about in the NFC. I said not only did they have the talent, they had the swagger, and they had something else on their side in that the Detroit hosts the draft this coming year. And for some reason, you know, called conspiracy, four times in the last 6 years, a team that has either hosted the draft coming up or the Super Bowl has won the whole thing, you know? So, you know, this Detroit's in there. They're playing tough. Could end up being 5 out of 7. Maybe that becomes too much of a trend, and the conspiracy theorists will get on the bandwagon that I'm trying to start. But nonetheless, for this game, Tampa, dude, after what happened last week, the Eagles suck. They're not going to have an easy time this week. And Detroit, I think Detroit's going to roll them. So I'm going to go with Detroit here. And I'm going to say what the final score is going to be, 38 to 17.
You know what's funny? I don't have a lot to say about this because you said everything I was going to say. you as we both pick we not only we both picked them in our pick'ems on Wednesday, we both have them in our suicide pools. Basically, what I'm telling you is Detroit is the only team, only home team at least in this round that's an absolute lock to be in a conference championship game. All the other games could have a different result. When you look at these two teams, they're night and day difference. Yeah, Tampa was very impressive against the Eagles, but they were playing an Eagles team that quit and were terrible defensively. They were horrible offensively. They were just horrible all around. That's not indicative of how tough a lot of these teams are. They're going to play a Detroit team that's going to be motivated. And remember, their big matchup was against the Rams. That was going to be their hard matchup. Their hardest matchup in the postseason was going to be against the Rams. They survived that, barely. But now they get a gift. They play a team that's not very good. And even though Baker's had a decent year and he's better than most people give him credit for, it's obvious that, Tampa does lack in talent in a way. You take away, like I said, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and three guys on the defense, Devontae David, White, number 45, and those guys, they're not a very talented team. And they won a division barely. They did not play well down the stretch. And here they are. They got lucky. And here they are in this round. Now, the only way they can win this game is if they can control the line of scrimmage, which they're not because they don't have a very good offensive line. And then obviously, getting the ball out to Mike Evans will be the key. But if you can control Mike Evans, it's going to be very difficult for him to throw the ball because even though Detroit's secondary isn't the best, they can get you in the front. And like I said, Jared Goff in this offense, David Montgomery, like I said, Montgomery's been probably the most explosive back in the league this year when he's healthy. And Jahmyr Gibbs has been very solid. Like I said, they're going to run the ball. They can throw it. They got Reynolds and Jameson Williams and guys. They're an elite offense, and obviously this is their time. I think like you said. I kind of wondered. You've been on the Detroit bandwagon for like the last year. They got a major gift in this postseason that the fact that the Eagles and the Cowboys are both got eliminated last week. So now they are the biggest threat to the 49ers. And I think that they have to keep getting their confidence up. Dan Campbell has to coach a very good game, and I think he will. And I think Detroit's going to roll. And it's funny because since we both picked them in our picks and our suicide pool, you also picked the score eerily similar to what I was going to pick. The only difference is you got a point extra for Tampa. So I'm saying 38 to 16 Detroit. So that's my pick'em for that matchup.
Okay.
So yeah, we're all going to be cheering for Detroit. I would never think in a million years we would ever be cheering for Detroit around here. But obviously the game that will obviously be interesting will be the night before is obviously the Packers and the 49ers. And this now becomes the most postseason matchup in NFL history, these two teams. This will be their 11th meeting in the postseason. They had a lot of great battles over the years, like Brett Favre and Steve Young and Aaron Rodgers and Colin Kaepernick, Alex Smith. Like I said, Jimmy Garoppolo. Now it's Brock Purdy. And obviously the 49ers, they're coming into this postseason as good as they can be, but they're going to be at home where they haven't been as invincible as they've been on the road. San Francisco's been a more scarier team on the road than they've been at home. So we'll see what happens. But Green Bay is playing with probably the biggest house money in the league right now. No matter what happens in this matchup, it's been an overachieving season for them. But then again, is there even more gas left in the tank for a potential unlikely appearance in an NFL semifinal? But Jordan Love is playing great football right now. He had an awesome debut in the postseason last week. We'll see what happens here. But so the 49ers have any pressure? I'm sure there will be pressure. The pressure's on them. But will they show up like the team we think they are, or will they whiff like the Cowboys did against the Packers last week? Interesting matchup on Saturday evening. Go ahead.
All right. Well, for the Niners, man, obviously they're coming off a bye week, which is always nice. Get an extra week to rest up. You look at recent playoff history between these two teams, and San Francisco knocked Aaron Rodgers out of the playoffs 4 times. You know, obviously they haven't played Jordan Love yet, but they had a nice history against Rodgers. We'll see if that can continue with Jordan Love at quarterback. But when you're talking about Green Bay, man, Jordan Love, you know, what's funny about this, what I find funny about this is this like Jordan Love is a perfect example of how stupid and short-sighted not patient fans and media are with anything football related. Halfway through the year this year, they were ready to kick him out of town. And, they got to get a new quarterback and all this. He wasn't playing great. Okay, great. Okay. The exact same thing happened with Rodgers his rookie year. He didn't get off the great start. Halfway through the year, he turned it around. And Jordan Love did the exact same thing, man. In the last 9 games, he's thrown 21 touchdowns and just 1 interception. He's on fire. We saw it last week. He had almost a near perfect game against Dallas, against that Dallas defense in Dallas. One guy that's also helped contribute to Green Bay's run here is Aaron Jones, who was injured earlier in the year and pretty ineffective for most of the year. But over the last 4 games, he's rushed for over 110 yards in each game. Last week against Dallas, he had 118 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. Adding that extra threat of running the ball, that's huge, man. And as Eagles fans who watch the Eagles just throw the ball over and over again and not even attempt to, you know, threaten teams with a running game, we know what it's like to – how important it is to actually establish a running game. And Aaron Jones has been good. But yeah, man, with this one, I'm looking at this. I just think, like you said Green Bay's playing with house money. I think they're going to come in this game loose. I think they're going to be fired up, but they're going to be loose. They're not going to be tight. They're not going to be making a lot of turnovers or anything like that. They're just going to come out and fire the ball, just like they did against Dallas. And just like Dallas, San Francisco is a team where if you come out and you punch them in the mouth and you get up on them early, they fold. They're soft. You know, I mean, the Eagles are the same way too. But, you know, Dallas was like that. We saw what happened to them. San Francisco is the same. And I'm picking the upset here. I think Green Bay is going to take them out. I think Jordan Love's going to have a big game this week. And we also do know Kyle Shanahan is a notorious playoff choker. So whether it's this week or next week, I don't think they're making the Super Bowl. But I don't think San Francisco is going to win this game. I'm going with Green Bay in the upset. And the final score is going to be 33-30.
Yeah, you did say on the look back that you were picking an upset with this matchup, but
I'll get to that. I made that bold, what I call bold prediction. I don't know if it really is a bold prediction, but I don't think many people are going with it.
I understand, but so a lot of people didn't go with Green Bay dominating Dallas 48-16. I mean, they didn't see that coming either. But
yeah,
but like I said, Green Bay has been the team nobody wants to play right now. They are a team that's playing. They don't care what the result. If they lose the game, so what? They made the playoffs, and then the fact that they're in this position where middle of the season, this team was struggling and didn't know if this team was going to even finish well. I mean, obviously, we all know the story about this Packers team. It's all about Jordan Love's development, and so far, A plus, because like I said, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers in their first years did not take the Packers to the postseason. He did, and he won a playoff game in dominant fashion with an almost perfect passer rate. It's obvious that Green Bay is a team that's rolling, and they're going to go into San Francisco. And I'll give you a credit. San Francisco at home is not like San Francisco on the road, as I mentioned before. On the road, their point differential is about maybe 17 points better, maybe 10 to 17 points better than at home. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't play at home. It's just that for some reason, they're much more of a dangerous road team than they've been at home this year. I mean, Ravens beat their ass down on Christmas night. So obviously, that's something to think about. And I mean, Brock Purdy has, you know, this is his third postseason start. You know, it's big to differ about him. He's not put up great numbers, but it's hard. The sample size is small. And obviously, this team, you know, but I'm tired of the 49ers just as much as you are, because they've been running their mouths. They continue to run their mouths. They've been running their mouths all week. They've been running their mouths all year. I mean, normally they've been able to back it up, but there's sometimes they can't back it up. I mean, I got this guy on Facebook that I used to deal with back in the day, and he's just running his mouth saying that, well, if we lose this week, we beat Seattle twice, we beat Eagles, Cowboys, Steelers. Like, get the hell out of here. Shut up, man. You want to win a championship. You don't care about who you beat. It's about can you win. And to me, if you're the Packers, you don't worry about that, and they're not going to worry about that. They're going to go in there, like you said, loose, ready to roll, and we'll see if they trail. And I think they might trail 7-0 to start. We'll see how good this 49er team is. Because, like you said, Brock Purdy isn't the greatest skill set. He's got the best weapons, but not the best skill set. And if he can't get the ball out, that could be a problem. But I think that, unlike the Cowboys, the 49ers are at home. They are a team that does deal with prosperity a little better than Dallas, obviously, and a lot of other teams in the league. So, like I said, at the end of the day, I'm going to go with the 49ers to battle. It's going to be a battle, but I'm going to go with the 49ers. I think that they at least win this matchup. I don't know if they'll win the conference championship game next week, but they're going to win this matchup. I just think that at the end of the day, that defense will play a much different role, even though, like you said, they don't turn the ball over. Green Bay had barely turned the ball over in the last month and 2 months, but I think San Francisco will get going and put themselves in a proper position. So, unfortunately, as much as I like this Green Bay story, it's going to come to an end here tomorrow night. So, give me the 49ers. Not being a hater, not being a lover, not being anything like that. Just better team situation. And the final score, 37-22.
All right, man. I think you're wrong. I think Green Bay is going to show up, but we'll see. I think it's either going to be a Green Bay win or they're going to get blown out, though, because we know how the Niners are, man. If they do get up, they will pile up the points.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, at this, like, Green Bay is there. If I'm a Green Bay fan, I'm satisfied with anything right now. I'm satisfied with it. I mean, you wouldn't be satisfied if you lose, but for what you were at midpoint of the season, 2-5, you're ecstatic that you're in this position. But we'll see what happens. Maybe they still have a little bit of magic left for another upset. But this would be the mother of all upsets beating this top team. So we'll see what happens. All right, we will turn to the AFC side of the board and some critical matchups here. Now, weather won't be a factor in the NFC games. The NFC games will not have weather to deal with. Detroit's indoors in the West Coast, San Francisco. But on the other side, it's going to be different. It's going to be much different. For Baltimore, and we're going to start with my Ravens first. That's the first game on Saturday. Tomorrow, that's going to be the first game of this round. They will be playing in frigid conditions. 35 to 40 mile an hour winds, temperatures only in the 20s. So that, and we'll see how Houston will handle it. Houston obviously coming off a big win against Cleveland. CJ Stroud was outstanding once again. He's coming now to the place where his NFL career began at week one. And he struggled against a tough Baltimore defense. But the pressure's not on them. It's on the Ravens. The Ravens have not, in the Lamar Jackson era, despite the success he's had, and he's going to be a league MVP again, most likely a lock, he's never won a postseason home game. And he only has one postseason win in four tries. This is going to be a critical matchup. In both of those losses, he was a favorite. So this is going to be critical. I mean, Lamar is healthy. He's paid. He's motivated. I mean, Chris Berman went down to interview him. They're ecstatic, and I'm looking forward to this matchup. But we'll see what happens. Can Houston, like Green Bay, don't give a damn and make another surprising upset, or will the Ravens dominate on their pursuit to getting Lamar into his first conference championship game in his career? So big matchup here. Go into it.
All right, man. Well, this game is my lock of the week. When you look at these two teams and their recent history, it's not necessarily great. I mean, obviously, we know Baltimore's won a couple Super Bowls, but Lamar Jackson, like you said, he hasn't won a home playoff game yet. He's 1-3 for his career in the playoffs. Houston, since they started, they're 0-4 in the divisional round. They've never made the AFC Championship game. But also Baltimore, here's something for you. The city of Baltimore hasn't hosted an AFC Championship game since January of 1971. You know? So, you know, it's been a long time. But one thing, man, when I look at, It's not a coincidence that Lamar has a bad playoff record. He hasn't played well in the playoffs. He's improved as a pocket passer, but he's still more of a guy, sort of like just like Jalen Hurts. You know, he's a guy that makes plays outside the pocket, and a lot of times those guys don't perform that well in the playoffs. I mean, we obviously saw Hurts come within inches of winning the Super Bowl, but that doesn't happen very often. And when I look at Houston, man, they got a plus 10 turnover differential on the year. They might not have the greatest defense in the league, but they make plays, man. They make plays. And I think Lamar Jackson is going to turn the ball over a couple times in this game, at least, maybe even three, maybe four even. I think CJ Stroud is going to show up. You know, he came up huge. He had a big game last week. He's been awesome this year. And I know Baltimore crushed him in week one. These two teams are a lot different. And C.J. Stroud has a whole season under his belt of experience now. I think he's going to have a huge game. And I think your Ravens are going down. And they're giving up 9.5 points. Like I said, this is my lock of the week. I think Houston covers, but I think Houston wins this game outright, you know. And one of my bold prediction, if you want to call it a bold prediction, when we talked on Wednesday, was both number one teams were going down. So yeah, my lock of the week is Houston to cover, but really, I think they're winning the game. So, Texans, CJ Stroud goes to the AFC Championship game. Final score is gonna be, I'm gonna say 29-23.
Yeah, you did say on the look back, both you think 49ers and the Ravens are both going to lose. And it's very, very possible. It is very, very possible. Now, since we've gone to one bye week, and that was in, what, 2020? Yeah, it was 2020. 2020, we've gone to one bye week. There has been no occasion where both one seeds went down in the same week. It has not yet happened. So, if you're believing that this is the year, then we'll see what happens. And anything can happen. Like I said, it's not, don't expect the unexpected. The unexpected, it will happen. Now, like I said, Lamar Jackson, he has all the pressure in the world now. This is his third postseason home game, and he's not won the first two. And he's been favored in both of those games that he lost. But obviously, this is his first postseason. This is also his first postseason game since the 2020 season, since he didn't finish the last 2 years, the previous two seasons. So I know he's jittering and excited for this matchup. But obviously, CJ Stroud is a rookie quarterback that obviously hoping to do what Joe Flacco, Ben Roethlisberger, and Mark Sanchez did, rookie quarterbacks in the conference championship game. And compared to all three of them combined, he looks more ready and talented than they were at this point in their first year, especially Mark Sanchez. Sanchez got aided by that defense, and so did Flacco to a degree. But when you look at CJ Stroud, he's obviously been impressive this year, and he had a great debut against one of the better defenses in the league in the Browns. But this is going to be tough. I mean, yeah, the first don't look back on the first matchup. Like I said, three of the four matchups this weekend are rematches from the regular season. But obviously, when you look at this matchup, I mean, Baltimore's defense has been tough. Remember, they have a plus 200 point differential. Now, since 2000, teams with point differential, the Ravens are the ninth team to finish with a 200 plus 200. Not only three of them got to the Super Bowl, only five of them won a postseason game, and none of them won a championship. So that's something I worry about. But I do think that Lamar's going to play as loose as he can. Can he run the ball? Can this team run the ball well? We'll see. But I think that, you know, Zay Flowers, another impressive rookie, very underrated rookie, he's going to have a big game. I think he's going to have a big game. Because like you said, Houston isn't the best defense in the game, even though D'Amico Ryans is their defensive guy, head coach and all that. I think he's going to have a big game. I think Gus Edwards will run the ball well. Not great, but he'll run it well enough. And I think to be Houston, it will be. They might make it competitive early, but Baltimore is such a dangerous team. I mean, if you just saw the matchup against Miami a few weeks ago, Miami tried for a while. They tried for a while, but Baltimore is just too fast. Their defense is very fast. They're the fastest team in the league right now. They'll just run up the score, and I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, you know, you might think it might be different, but I think the Ravens are going to win pretty comfortably. I think this is a game where I just don't see where Houston's going to hang by the time we get to the end, by the fourth quarter. I think the Ravens are going to win pretty comfortably. So I'm going to go with my Ravens here in a critical situation where they finally get where they host their first AFC championship game. Think about it. Their two Super Bowl years, they had to go on the road in a conference title game, but not this year. They will be hosting the AFC championship game. And the final score, 40-20.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I think you're wrong, but you never know, man. It's the playoffs.
Yeah, I understand, but we're talking about trajectories, and I know CJ Stroud is talented, and he could be in the AFC Championship game. But remember, rookie quarterbacks versus top defenses in the postseason have not always done well. So, you know, he's going to try and make a little bit of history. And like you said, Houston has never made a conference champion. The Texans have not made a conference championship game. This is their 22nd season, so we'll see. But since that was your lock of the week, this is my game of the week coming up here. And obviously, this is the big matchup everybody is saying. Kansas City and Buffalo. Mahomes versus Allen. The Rocket versus Big Game Josh. The big matchup. These two, this is their third postseason meet. The last time these two teams met in the postseason, the NFL had to change the rule about overtime rules. They had to change their overtime rule. Has the possibility of being that way again this time around, but we haven't used them yet because none of the postseason games have gone to overtime. But could this one be the first? Obviously, these are two teams that have been through the ringer this year. They have been good, but they have struggled at times as well. Both looking really, really good. Now, obviously, coaching, like I said, everybody's thinking that there'll be coaching changes. Obviously, the Eagles and the Cowboys are keeping Sirianni and McCarthy for next season. But the big rumor going around, and it's got legs by both Fox and CBS Sports, saying that if the Chiefs lose, or even if they go on and in the next game that they don't, you know, they lose, this could be Andy Reid's last game. This might be his last stand, potentially, as the head coach. He might walk away. Now, I don't believe it. I need more sources, but we'll see what happens. But an interesting matchup. It could be the end of an era, potentially, if Kansas City doesn't win. But we'll see what happens. But an interesting matchup. This is my game of the week. This is the game I'm going to stop work and watch because it's going to be a battle. It's going to be fun. It's Nance and Romo. It's going to be up and down. It could be one of those wild games. It could be the game of the year, postseason game of the year. These two teams going at it all the time. But will more magic happen? And who puts their ticket stamped in going to the AFC Championship game? Go ahead.
All right. Well, I mean, you said that Sirianni is staying right now. I mean, that's not confirmed. He met with Jeffrey Lurie, but there's been no actual answer on that. I mean, really, the only rumor is that he's been calling coordinators to basically put his plan together to present to Lurie. So we'll see. That's not a guarantee. But yeah, we'll see about Reed too, man. I mean, he's getting old. Might be time for him to retire. I don't know about it, what his health is like. I mean, the guy's been obese pretty much since we met him back in 99. So,
well, he loves to eat. That man does like to eat.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, who knows? Who knows, man? This could be the end for him. Maybe he keeps playing. You never know. Or he keeps coaching, I should say. But for this game, yeah, I mean, obviously the big story is Mahomes versus Allen. This is almost starting to turn into the new version of Brady versus Manning, you know, especially since in the playoffs, Mahomes has pretty much dominated Allen, just like Brady dominated Manning, especially the early part of their careers. But this one could be a little bit different, man. This could be like the year that Manning finally got past Brady. We already know Buffalo's on fire right now. They're on the 6-game winning streak. The first win of that streak came in Kansas City, right after that Eagles loss that they had. They do have a number of injuries, a lot of injuries, man. They had a few more last week too. So that's going to hurt. That defense is definitely depleted. But Kansas City, obviously, they don't have a lot of big play receivers to take advantage of that injured Buffalo defense. Now, Rashee Rice had a big game last week, the rookie, 8 receptions, 130 yards. That was nice. But they still don't have, like, that big play guy, man. I mean, Mecole Hardman, let's face it, the guy's a bum. He always has been. Every once in a while, he has a big play. That's about it. I mean, they don't have a Tyreek Hill anymore. And Travis Kelce, I'm sure Taylor Swift will be there, and you'll have to stare at her all night. But, you know, he seems like he at least isn't – I don't know if he lost a step. Maybe he lost a half a step. But he's on the downside of his career. So, I mean, it's tough. But one thing, with all the times that these two guys have played, Mahomes and Allen, head-to-head, all the times that these guys have played over the last few years, this is the first time Mahomes is going to be playing. Well, technically, he's played once before, but this is really the first real game he's playing at Buffalo in his career. The only other time these two guys met in Buffalo was in 2020 when they were under the COVID restrictions. So it wasn't really like a full crowd. I don't even know if there was a crowd. It might have been an empty stadium.
Probably was. I don't remember, but probably was.
Yeah, but either way, he's never played in Buffalo in front of that of real Buffalo crowd in all those years. So all those years that he's dominated, it's always been in KC. But this time, I think it's gonna be different, man. I think Buffalo, they found something when they fired Ken Dorsey and made Joe Brady the offensive coordinator. And now all of a sudden Joe Brady's getting steam as a potential head coaching candidate. Yeah, they found something there. It really fixed Josh Allen just getting a good coordinator in there, which is something that the Eagles better take note of. And they're on fire, man, and I think that's going to continue. You look at Josh Allen last week, for all of that we heard about him, well, that we've seen too, of him turning the ball over and making stupid plays over the last like year and a half before that streak started. You look at what he did last week against Pittsburgh. He had a great game, man, and he didn't make any mistakes. He played within the offense. When there was a big play to be made, he made it. And I think they're going to do the same thing this week against Kansas City. Kansas City has that tough D. It's going to be tough for them to. I don't think they're going to put up a lot of points, but they're going to put up a decent amount of points. And I think Kansas City and Mahomes, it'll be a tight one. But I think that wide receiver staff is going to fail again, and I think Buffalo pulls it out. So I'm going to go with the Bills with a final score of 27-24.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this is the classic matchup. These two teams, you know, they know each other very well. Mahomes, Allen, they know each other very, very well. They played in this league. They've been starters since the same year. They've had postseason. They've been in the postseason each year. Well, not the first year for Allen, but since 2019 for him. But obviously, Buffalo and Kansas City, I mean, I wish this was the AFC Championship. Unfortunately, we're getting robbed of that this year. But both of these two teams didn't play well enough to put themselves in that position where one will be playing in a conference title game and the other won't. But that's what happens when you struggled at times this year. Kansas City obviously has a great defense, but they, like the Eagles, have struggled this year. Their struggle is offensively, though. So, because they don't have that elite receiver to take off the cap of the secondary. They don't have a Tyreek Hill, like you said. Rashee Rice is faded. He's kind of separated himself from the others over the last couple of weeks. But he's still not that great a receiver. He doesn't have that breakaway speed that Hill has and other receivers have. But he's a decent enough receiver, and I think he'll have a decent enough game. But this is going to be tough for Kansas City because, like you said, this is and you didn't bring this up shockingly, this is Patrick Mahomes' first postseason road start. Take away the Super Bowl, this is his very first postseason road start.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that.
And obviously, he's been no worse in his in his starting career since 2018 as a conference championship game at home. Now, there's still an outside chance that streak could continue, but that's going to be a long shot, and I don't think it's going to continue because I think they're going to lose this game. But I do think, you know, for Josh Allen and Joe Brady. Now, wouldn't it be funny if Joe Brady goes to Carolina after what happened to him there?
I think he's smart enough to stay away from that franchise, man.
If he's going to get a head coaching gig, yeah, Carolina, nobody wants to go there. Trust me, that's a forgettable place. But when you look at Joe Brady, he's obviously he's had a He's had, you know, he's done a very good job in turning this offense around. Like I said, it's funny about the Eagles and the Bills. When the Eagles beat the Bills, we all thought they would be fine, and the Bills were going to miss the postseason, and there could be changes. Well, the switch has been flipped since that matchup. The Eagles only won one more game and fell apart. The Bills have not lost since. They look like a team that could go all the way, and we're going to see what happens here. But like I said, it's going to be very interesting to see. Like I said, it's going to be a battle. This is my game of the week, and this is the only game I'm picking that's going to be a one-score game out of the four. I just think when I look at some of these matchups, I just don't like the makeup of it. But this is the only matchup that looks like a great game, that on paper that's going to be a great game and a good battle. And it's going to be a battle. But at the end of the day, I'm going to go with the home team. We'll go with Buffalo. They're going to go to the AFC Championship game. Whether they host it or they're in Baltimore remains to be seen. But obviously, give a lot of credit to this turnaround. They were 6-6 and out of it. Now here they are on the doorstep. And they're going to win this game. And send Mahomes to his worst season of his career, or worst finish of his career to this point, which is shocking. And most likely could be Andy Reid's last game as head coach, probably. We'll see. But I doubt it. I still doubt. I think he'll give it another year. So I'm going to go with Buffalo. And the final score, 31-24. Or maybe, no, 31-26. I think it'll be a tighter game than that, 31-26.
Okay. Yeah, still one score game either way.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll see what happens here. I mean, obviously, this is a – hopefully we'll save this and we'll put it out here, but this should be an interesting matchup. Matt's going away on business. As I say, business may not be business to you, but business for everybody else. Matt will be off on next Wednesday's look back. We'll try to get Ken on in his place. We'll obviously look back on these matchups. We'll look at other things going around in the league. Obviously, we'll get to all of our other segments. So, a lot to look into as we get ready for Conference Championship, the most important Sunday of the year, Conference Championship Sunday next week. Obviously, we'll have all that and much more. So, that's all we have for this episode.
Well, hey, man. Hey, before we go, since I'm not going to be here, you want me to go over some Eagles coaching?
All right, go ahead. We have time. We have 15 more minutes, so go ahead.
Yeah, this will be quick. Obviously, we're talking about the head coach first. We got to figure out who the head coach is going to be. Nick Sirianni should have met with Jeffrey Lurie today. He's already met with Howie Roseman. Seems like him and Howie Roseman are on the same page, which isn't necessarily a good thing. I mean, Howie might just want a puppet, and he's like, oh, yeah, let's get the coordinator in here and show it to Jeffrey, and, you know, this is it, let's do it, you know. So it's kind of up to Jeffrey Lurie what happens with the direction of this team. I think if Nick Sirianni comes back, it's kind of more of a puppet scenario for Howie Roseman, which isn't necessarily a good thing, man. I mean, I think I like Howie as a GM, but every once in a while, man, he gets too much power and he puts his nose where it doesn't belong. And this is what we end up with, is a team that goes way downhill. If Jeffrey decides, you know, we got to get a real coach in here that, you know, is going to bring discipline and going to do things his way. You know, all of a sudden, Howie doesn't have the same amount of power that he's had. And I don't think it's a bad thing, man. I mean, Howie, if he would just stick with what he's good at, he'd be good. It's just once they get that success, I think it goes to his head and he kind of tries to spread out and be like some like football genius that he's not. So, I don't know. So here, I'm going to give you two scenarios, man, because I don't know what's going to happen with Sirianni. So I'm going to give you what I think we should do with offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator if we sign Sirianni. And I'm going to give you the head coaching candidate that I'd like and pairings for him. All right. So let's just say, for example, the Eagles keep Nick Sirianni as the head coach. The only way you can keep him, man, is you gotta tell him, like, you gotta fire both coordinators, and you gotta they either no matter what they do, they gotta change the system that they got in place, man. We can't have a defense that is passive, that just has the cornerbacks playing 10 yards off the line of scrimmage and only brings four linemen, and it's basically almost prevent defense constantly. You can't do it, man. You gotta have some aggression. I'm not talking about Buddy Ryan, Jim Johnson. That's not the game anymore, but you gotta have some aggression, you know? So there's a balance in there, but you need a guy that can bring some balance. And on offense, man, we need somebody that can actually bring some innovation to this offense, that actually knows how to scheme players open, that can see what other teams are doing, and, you know, can actually call it offense, you know? I mean, if you see that the Bucs are bringing their entire team and the middle of the field is wide open, and you don't have Dallas Goedert or anybody in the middle of the field to take an easy pass for 20 yards, or just call some type of misdirection, running play, or put some guys in motion, anything to throw the defense off a little bit. I mean, when you just have two receivers on the outside plus Dallas Goedert and another receiver on the outside, and they're just running fly patterns basically, and there's nothing in the middle of the field, and you know the Bucs are bringing the heat right up the middle, and there's no defenders there. I mean, that's just it's malpractice, man. It's pathetic. So we need to find an offensive coordinator that knows what he's doing. So
Okay, wait. Now, sorry to cut you off.
yeah.
I'm going to give you two names, and they're going to get two new coordinators. It's obvious. That's what's going to happen. I don't see Sirianni losing his job unless it really goes bad with Lurie. But in the case he does keep his job, and it looks 90% that it's going to happen, what do you think about Frank Wright and Wink Martindale?
All right. Well, right off the bat, man, Frank Reich is too much of the same. I like the guy, but I'm looking to go with somebody that's a little bit more innovative than him. I'm sorry. I mean, I like the guy. He's obviously the guy that everybody wants because they're familiar with him, and he fits because, you know, he's Sirianni's mentor. But we need to get somebody that's going to bring a fresh view to this offense. And defensively with Wink Martindale, that's just a guy that blitzes all the time. I mean, he's a dinosaur. I'm sorry. I know Eagles fans love a guy that's going to bring the heat every play, but he's just not the right guy. I mean, he's just not it. Neither of them are, in my opinion, should be the option. So that being said, I'm going to give you my option for defensive coordinator. And I'm looking at a former head coach here, man, a former Eagles coach, actually. I'm going to Ron Rivera as defensive coordinator. We need a guy on that defensive side of the ball that is going to bring stability, that commands respect both from ownership and from the players. A guy that's going to have some aggression, but not too much aggression. Just an overall smart guy. And I've said in the past, he's not a good head coach, but he's a really good defensive coach. And as defensive coordinator, I think he'd be a perfect fit. And I've seen over the last few days, I mean, he's saying that he wants to come back in the NFL, whether it's as a head coach or a defensive coordinator. And his head coaching ship has sailed. So I think he'd be a perfect fit for what we need on the defensive side of the ball. Offensive side, this is saying Sirianni's still there. There's a couple different candidates. I'll skip over a couple of them, but I'm looking at certain guys. So Zach Robinson is the Rams' offensive is the passing game coordinator. I'm going to skip over him. He's a little unknown. Clint Kubiak is the Niners passing game coordinator, used to be a Vikings offensive coordinator.
You said Kubiak. Is that Gary Kubiak's son?
Yeah, yeah. So he's coming from a combination of like Gary Kubiak and Kyle Shanahan's coaching tree. I'm kind of skipping over him. He could be an option, but I think there's two better options. One is Shane Waldron from Seattle. He's the Seahawks offensive coordinator. He used to be a quarterback coach under Sean McVay. He comes from that sort of that Sean McVay coaching tree. He did a great job over the last couple of years with Geno Smith. You give him Jalen Hurts, might take this offense another level. But when it come, if we keep Sirianni, the guy I'm looking at, and he might not be the most popular option, but I think it's somebody that's going to bring a completely different view and somebody that's coached a similar type of quarterback and had him have a lot of success in the NFL, and that's your boy Cliff Kingsbury, man. He's an option there for a lot of teams as offensive coordinator.
Well, Chicago wants him a lot. They interviewed him this week.
Yeah, I saw they've interviewed him too. I mean, they want him. That doesn't mean that they're going to sign him. But that's who I'd go with if I had Sirianni as head coach, is Cliff Kingsbury and Ron Rivera. Now, if you're talking about if you're talking about firing Sirianni right off the bat, I'm going straight to Mike Vrabel, man.
I have a feeling he's going to end up on here as defensive coordinator. I think with Ron Rivera, you know, you're kind of the in with the new and out with the old. And unfortunately with Rivera, he's been straightforward. He's been in the coaching deal for almost 30 years now. And I understand you like him as a defensive guy, but you need fresh blood. And the Eagles historically has been a team that they get new guys. They're not a recycled franchise. All their head coaches I've been alive were new coaches. So I would, you know, even though recycling, it'd be a little bit if you bring in Vrabel, but Vrabel would be my defensive guy right away. I would hire him in a snap if he doesn't get a head coaching job.
Well, the thing is, whether it's with the Eagles or anybody else, I think Vrabel's getting a head coaching job somewhere. So I don't think he's an option as a defensive coordinator. But when you look at defensive coordinators, Eagles' history with these defensive coordinators, they've been most successful when they bring in former, you know, guys that have been around the league a long time, like Jim Johnson. Like I know a lot of Eagles fans hated him, but Jim Schwartz, you know, the defensive
coordinator. Well, Schwartz wasn't terrible. He did a good job. He did a very good job.
I know, but the fans hated him because he didn't blitz, and you know, you skew the argument to why he sucked because he didn't blitz.
This is to say, anybody but Matt Patricia, anybody, I'll do it. I'll be the defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
anybody but him.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, if we keep Sirianni, I think we just need a strong presence there as a defensive coordinator, and I think Ron Vero fills that role that we would need. But yeah, in terms of head coach, if we fire Sirianni, yeah, then I'm going straight to Vrabel. And I do think he'd be a big option because when you look at over the years, man, your boy Patricia, back when they were looking for a head coach after they fired Peterson before they hired Sirianni, your boy Josh McDaniels was a big name that they were going after. I mean, they were going after Bill Belichick coaching tree players, and Vrabel fills that role. Except Vrabel is actually a good coach, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that would be the option. And if that's the case, then he brings his own defensive coordinator in anyway. I mean, he's really the defensive coordinator too. So then you go on the offensive coordinator side of the ball. At that point, I might not go as extreme as Cliff Kingsbury. At that point, I'd be looking at more of a Shane Waldron, like I said, the Seahawks offensive coordinator for the last couple of years. I think he could just come right in here, bring some new elements to this offense with, like I said, he came from the Rams coaching tree, you know, a lot of He's still an innovative guy that's credited with really saving Geno Smith's career. I think he could really bring something to this team. So he's just not as much of an extreme change in philosophy versus like Cliff Kingsbury bringing a whole sort of completely different offense. But yeah, I mean he's going to bring more of a Sean McVay type offense versus like a college offense.
I said we don't have a lot of time left. Obviously, we'll try to get into some of the coaching, head coaching things here on Wednesday show. By Wednesday show, Bill Belichick might have a job. Who knows? I mean, we'll get into that. We'll get into a few things here.
He's
I mean,
going to Atlanta, from what I heard, man.
it looks like it's almost. Well, now they're saying that Jim Harbaugh is getting an interview, but it looks like Belichick's going to get a job again. He's going to. He's not retiring. So, but we'll see what happens. Obviously, you go on to your little vacation, and we'll talk to you next weekend. And like I said, join the rest of us on Wednesday. Hopefully, Ken will join us. I'll figure that out. And you know, that's all we have for this episode. And enjoy the football this weekend, folks.
Yeah, man.